Corinthians 4, verse 16. Let's stand together as we read God's Word. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 16 through 18. Find it myself here. 2 Corinthians 4. Should have marked it. Okay, here we go. For this, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your precious word and the comfort it gives to every one of us. We all have different times of need as we go through life. And we thank you that your word's there to comfort and give us strength. And we know, Lord, as believers in Christ, we do see beyond this world and its sorrow and troubles to a world of perfect bliss and harmony. And we see that through eyes of faith, and we know it's very real. And we've known people that are already on the other side in that wonderful place. And we thank you for that, those comfort we can get from your word. And just bless us now as we preach your word this evening. Just speak to our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We see here how, as believers, we can rejoice in something that's really, really real. You know, people want something real. They used to have this years ago, Coke's the real thing, but they have Pepsi too and all the others, and it's just a advertising thing. But there is something real. There's a land that's real, and it's more real than the land we're in here, but it's beyond us. And none of us here have been there. We know people that went on there, but we haven't been there. But that doesn't take away from the reality of it. It's a very real place, a wonderful place, and we know it's real, and we can be comforted by it. And it gives joy in times of suffering. Now, in this 2 Corinthians 4 here, if you read the whole chapter, the Apostle Paul's talking about what he had been through. He said he had been through trouble. We are troubled. In verse 8, look at there. It says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus, that made that the life of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. So Paul had been through a lot. There's another scripture where you read about he had two shipwrecks. He got thrown in jail numerous times. He got stoned twice, and he went through all sorts of trials, troubles, and tribulations. Yet, as we see from many of his writings, especially the book of Philippians, he was joyful in the midst of it. And he knew what to do in times of suffering because he looked beyond the suffering. He looked to a land of perfect joy and perfect peace. And there's three things that we can see from this scripture we learned from that scripture I read here. We can see we see the eternal. We know, we realize God's rewards. And then finally, we look, we know, and we faint not. We look, we know, and we faint not. Well, and this is kind of reverse order because it ends up with the fainting part. So I'm going to go through these verses reverse, and I'm going to start with the looking one in verse 18. Verse 18, you'll see how we look. We look for the eternal. In verse 17, you see how we know, we realize God's reward. And then in verse 16, you see we faint not. So it's we look, we know, and we faint not. So we'll start with the looking part there in verse 18, which says we look. While we look not at the things which are seen, that's the things we see with our eyes as we look around us. And right here we see a group of people here, we see a building, we see carpet, we see lights, we see all the stuff around us. That's the material world, and we see it, and we're in a material world. But this world, everything we see about us that we see with these eyes, these are physical eyes, so we see physical things, and all these things will someday pass away. Even the people. Now, inside us is a soul. Inside of every human being is a soul that's eternal. But their outward part of our body is flesh that will pass away. So everything we see with these eyes, these physical eyes, are physical things that will pass away. But Paul says here, we look not at the things which are seen. Not everyone can see the things that are seen. But as Christians, we look beyond that. But we look at the things which are not seen, things beyond, things that are really real, things that are eternal. And you know, there are eternal things. Our soul is eternal. God's eternal. God's Word is eternal. Heaven is eternal. These are eternal things that we as believers know are very, very real. And they're just as real as the material, but we can't, people in the world can't see. We can't see with our physical eyes. So that's why atheists and people believe they're not real. But they're very real, and they're things that are not seen, and we see them by faith, with our eyes of faith. For the things which are seen are temporal. Did you know, I looked at that, that's the only time in the whole Bible that word is found, temporal, and it means just temporary. Everything about us, the physical things, even our bodies, are all temporary. We know that we're just passing through this world a temporary time. But we look beyond that as believers. But the things which are not seen are eternal. We look beyond that. We can see with spiritual eyes something that a lost person can't see. And we have a citizenship in Philippians 3:20 and 21. It says, "For our conversation is in heaven." That word conversation means citizenship. As a believer in Christ, our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we look for the Savior. So we look to the future, and we look for the Savior. He's coming again for us. We look beyond. We look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I like that next verse. It says, "Who should change our vile body." The body that we live in now is vile, and it's corruptible, and it will pass away. But He will change our vile body, and it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. That's a wonderful joy for every one of us, because we all know, and the older we get, the more we see it, these old bodies are not eternal. They wear out, and they get old and give us problems. But we with this old body, for a believer, will be changed to a glorious body. And we know this is true through the eyes of faith and through the Word of God. And I thought about how we believe that places exist, far away exist, even if we haven't been there. I don't think anyone in here has been to the moon, but we know about it from books and things we read. Or our other countries. Some of us have been to some other countries, but there's other places. Like, I've never been to Africa, I've never been to Europe or South America. I've not been to either one. I went to Asia when I went to the Philippines, but I haven't been to Africa, Europe, or South America. But yeah, I know those places are real because I read about them in books, and I've talked to other people that have been there. So I, by faith, I believe the word of other people. I believe the books that they're written about them, that those places are real, even though I have never been there. And that's the way for the believer for heaven. Not any of us have been into heaven. Not only have we not been there, we haven't even talked to someone, because the people that go there don't come back in this life. So but yet we do have a record. We have the Word of God, which is absolutely trustworthy, and we know that heaven's real because of this book, the Bible. And so we know that it's real, and we know that if we trust in Him, we have a citizenship there. And so we look to the future with anticipation. We got a real faith, a real hope. It's sad today, so many people in this our country today, especially, as they turn away from God, they turn to humanism, and they think this world's just going to get better and better and better. They're looking to human beings, and they're looking to human nature and all that. But you can't trust those things, because they're not. The thing is, they think, what's funny, the outside world, who are unbelievers, they think we're foolish and we're believing in pie in the sky and all this. But we've got a lot greater hope than they do, because their pie in the sky is physical things. In our country, they think the government's going to solve all the problems and all that. The problems are not getting better; they're only getting worse. Man does not have the answer, and it's an empty, vain hope. But yet, as a believer, we do have a hope in something very real, and we look to the future with hope. Not only do we look to the future, but we look to Jesus. In Hebrews 12:1, we read, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." This is talking about a race. In my Sunday school class this morning, we talked about this, about the Christian life being a walk and also a race. And in Paul's day, they had sports, and they weren't like our sports today, like basketball and all that, but they were races. They had races. And they would run in these races. And they would have sometimes in a big stadium where there are lots of people. And it says here, when you're running a race, you lay aside the weights. Just like a runner doesn't have a lot of baggage around, they want to be free of a lot of weights so they can run well. So it's talking about a race and the illustration here. And look at verse 2. I'll read verse 2 for you. "Looking at Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." In this race, this Christian race that we're all in as believers, we're running and we're looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him and endured the cross, despising the shame, is set down on the right hand on the throne of God. So we're in this race. Now the first part of that, in this race and all, it says, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. This is a wonderful spiritual truth here. Even in Roman days, you've seen the ruins of those old stadiums. They had these huge stadiums that seated thousands of people, and they would have their races and their games and things down in there, and the runners and the different people, different things they'd do. They would compete. And so it's talking about a cloud. You know, if any of you have ever been to some of the, like a big baseball game or a big football game, one of these big ones in a big stadium, you know how there are just thousands of people there. And there's so many people that when you look up at this, it just looks like a cloud. You can't make anyone out. And you can imagine, if you would, if there was a person there playing a game, like at a football game, since it's football season, we'll use that. A football game, they were playing a game, and they were down in the field, and they were playing, and maybe their loved ones, their family, maybe it was a professional player, maybe his wife, his children, his parents, different ones in his family, maybe up there, and they're cheering him on. Well, you think of it, if they're up there, and he's out there, and you've seen what it's like, unless they have some kind of special big old sign or something, he's not going to be able to tell where they are. They're just going to blend in with the rest of the people. So he can't see them, but they can see him. And that's even. I was talking in our Sunday school class. Even in our small gym, our gym is not that big. And if you really wanted to, you could stop and you could find people in the crowd. But I asked Bradley this morning. He plays basketball, and I asked him, "Do you notice the people in the crowd?" And he said, "No, because I never played sports much, so I don't know." But he told me the thing is, I can imagine though. I didn't play sports, but I did marching band and musical things. When you're concentrated on what you're doing, you don't even think about the crowd. So they're out there, but you don't know where they are, and you can't see them with your physical eyes because you're too concentrated. So anyway, the point is, I think that we see here is that the cheering people, the cheering people are watching us, but we can't see them. And I think that's a wonderful spiritual truth. When we know loved ones that gone on. I have two godly grandmas and a grandpa that have went on, and I have some aunts and uncles. We all have people we know that are on the other side, and we can't see them. They're gone from us. But I believe, according to this scripture here, they see us, and they're cheering us on. We can't hear them. We can't see them. They're in another world, but they're in a world that's not limited like we are, so they can see back down to us, and they're for us. They're rooting for us, so to speak. And that's a wonderful, wonderful, encouraging truth. And I remember this from a dear elder lady. Mrs. Futrell was a dear elder lady that I met when one of my first ministry in Marion, Illinois, Calvary Baptist there. And I would sometimes go visit Mrs. Futrell. Mrs. Futrell would ride our vans to church. She didn't drive, I don't think. And I'm sure she's probably gone on to be with the Lord, because that was over 20 years ago when she was up in years then. But I would go visit her, and she just a elderly lady there in her house by herself, but she was joyful. And her husband was named Troy, and Troy had went on to be with the Lord. And I remember going to her house, and she showed me her one time in her Bible, Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, and she had written there's Troy, and she kind of clapped her little hands, and she was excited because she knew Troy was in that cloud of witnesses watching her. And of course she's over there now too, I imagine, because it's been several years ago. I lost contact with her, but I imagine she's gone to be with the Lord after all these years. But she had a hope of going to the other side, and it was very real to her. So we look to the future, and we look to Jesus. I found this little quote, and I had this down. I'd used this in a message before, but I'm going to read it again because I thought it was good. It says, "I'm like a package prepared for shipment and waiting for the express to take me to my destination." Every one of us, if you're a believer, you're like a package, and you're waiting for shipment. You're not there yet, but someday it'll be your time to go in the mail to the other side. And so it's a wonderful encouragement for us as believers when we leave this life, that we know we got something much better on the other side. So we look to the future. We see the eternal. Secondly, we know, and this is found in verse 17 of our text here. It says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Paul said, and Paul probably had, nobody probably of us, now many of you probably have more burdens than I do. I've been pretty blessed. I think in many ways I don't have too many burdens. We all have burdens, but I think I've been blessed with good health and all, and I don't know what the burdens will be in the future, but I praise the Lord for taking care of me so far, and I know He will. But I've met people who've had some heavy burdens, and Paul, if you read it, his account, he was a person with heavy burdens, and we read about him here. He said, "We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed." And so he was a man that had burdens. But notice what he says. He says, our light affliction. He says, Paul says, it's just light. And I think what he meant by it being light, it's light and compared to the other side, because he knew, because he said there, for our light affliction is but for a moment. And it's true that there are believers that go through tremendous trials. I think of believers in other countries, like communist countries, China, and I think of the Muslim countries where they beat up Christians and throw them in jail, and they're under tremendous persecutions and trials that we don't face. But yet, you talk to those believers, they're joyful because they know, like this verse says, it's light affliction. The reason it's light, it's heavy right now, but it's light because it's only temporary. And I was reading somewhere about this, and I read and I thought that was so true. The worst possible suffering, the worst possible burden, the worst thing we can imagine will someday come to an end, because pain on this earth will eventually end, because the body's going to eventually end in death. So we go through things, but they're light in comparison to eternity, because you think of the opposite of that is true terrible suffering. It's in hell when it's forever and ever and ever for the lost who don't know the Lord. That's true awful suffering. And as a believer, we know we'll never face that. We'll face suffering here, every one of us will, to different degrees. But it's when you compare it to eternity, it's kind of comparison. When you compare what we go through here to what's coming in the rewards in heaven, what the burdens here just seem like lightness. They don't seem that bad. And I think of that verse Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." And he said, "I will give you yet rest. Take my yoke upon you, me, and learn of you, for I am meek, lowly in heart." And what I think that he's talking about in that verse, as a Christian, we do have a burden, we do have yokes, we do have burdens, we do have things we go through. But compared to the load of sin and the load of judgment of hell forever, they're nothing. They're light, because they're just temporary, and they will someday be gone. So our light affliction, which is but for a moment, to the trials of the day will seem light in comparison to the glory ahead. Moses is a Bible character, and he chose eternal rewards over temporary pleasures in Egypt. Hebrews 11:24 and 25 and 26. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Remember, Moses grew up in the palaces of Egypt. Moses had the chance, perhaps, to be the next Pharaoh. Here he was the princess's daughter, and he grew up in wealth and luxury and great education. He had all everything going for him there. And you know the story when he saw one of his people being mistreated, and he killed that Egyptian, and then he had to run from Pharaoh, and he made a choice. He chose to be identified with God's people rather than to be identified with Egypt. And it says, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He could have had anything he wanted. He was in that position, but he chose to give that all up for the Lord and His rewards, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. He realized that the temporary reproach, the temporary burdens, the temporary problems the children of Israel were going through there in Egypt, it was hard. They were slaves. It was bad. But that was only temporary. The children of Israel were God's people. They knew about heaven, and they looked for a city whose builder and maker is God. They looked beyond the physical to the eternal, and that's what Moses did by faith. So he was looking beyond, and you can see person after person in the Bible who looked beyond. They were in a physical body with physical troubles and physical trials, but they looked beyond. And they knew that God would reward in His time, in His way. So we look, and verse 17, we know there's going to be rewards coming for us that are faithful, and we get to be with the Lord. The joy of heaven will far outweigh any trial we have here. So we look, we know heaven's real. And thirdly, we faint not. And this is found in verse 16. For which cause we faint not, but though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. I believe we saw that this verse in action this morning as we saw the Lord blessing our service. Our pastor, as someone said, he looked like he was tired. And these old bodies do get tired. But even when the body gets so tired you think you can't go on, the spirit, the spiritual part of us just gets fresher and fresher all the time with the Lord, and it just keeps giving us the strength to go on. And God has a work for all of us to do. And I think we see here it says, for which cause we faint not. We don't ever want to faint. We don't want to give up. We don't want to throw in the towel and quit living for the Lord and doing His work, because it does get weary. It does get tiring. And sometimes we even have to rest and take care of this body because it's wearing out. But the spirit part of us is getting stronger. Look what it says there. Yet though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And I found that in my life, growing as a Christian, I found that the body, I know the body's wearing out. And it seems like the older I get, the more it gets worn out. But the spirit part just keeps getting sweeter, sweeter all the time. Like that song says, to Jesus every day I find my heart is closer to God. Drawn each day, he grows still sweeter than he was the day before. I found that. Many of you I know found that true, that the spiritual part just keeps getting better all the time. And so we don't ever quit. Sometimes we might have to slow down as we get older and in the Lord, in the body, we grow greater in the Lord, but the body gets older, and sometimes we can't do some of the same things we can't physically that we could when we were younger. But you know, we can still do the spiritual part. We can still pray, and we can still fellowship with God and come closer to Him. And that's a wonderful truth. So though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. The flesh becomes weaker. All of us know that. The flesh becomes weaker as we go through life. Even though in today's modern day, with all the different things we have, vitamins, we have diet programs, we have all kinds of medicines and everything, and we're battling the flesh. But man will never win the ultimate battle against the flesh, because this old body is just like everything else in this physical universe. It's running down. That's the second law of thermodynamics, that this world is wearing out. And we do things to try to slow the wearing down, but it still comes, because it's just the way this old world is, and it's because of the sin curse. So the flesh is going down, and all the world around us is. But spiritually, we can become stronger all the time, and we can get closer to the Lord, and we can like have services like we did this morning, where we see God just work in a wonderful way, because God has never changed. This whole world gets worse all the time, but God's not hasn't changed. He's always the same. He's always there, and He's always working, even when we don't think He is, because He works in His time, not ours. So we faint not. We keep on going for the Lord. I praise the Lord for these wonderful challenges. And I want to read a couple of little things from two great preachers of the past, and how you can see how from their writings that heaven was real. One of them is Charles Spurgeon. Charles Spurgeon wrote, "The joys of heaven will surely compensate for the sorrows of earth. Hush, my fears. This world is but a narrow span, and thou shalt soon have passed it. Hush, hush, my doubts. Death is but a narrow stream, and thou shalt soon have forded it. Time, how short. Eternity, how long. Death, how brief. Immortality, how endless. Methinks I even now eat of Eshcol's clusters and sip of the well which is within the gate. The road is so short, I shall soon be there." And I thought that was great writing by a great preacher of the past, Charles Spurgeon. And this one's by Dwight L. Moody. And it's entitled, "What a Day That Will Be." "A city without tears. God wipes them all away up yonder. This is a time of weeping, but by and by there will be a time when God shall call us where there will be no tears. A city without pain. A city without sorrows, without sickness, without death. Think of a place where temptations cannot come. Think of a place where we shall be free from sin and where the righteous shall reign forever. Think of a city built without hands, where the buildings do not grow old with time. A city whose inhabitants are numbered by no census except the book of life. Think of a city where no hearses with their nodding plumes creep slowly with their sad burdens to the cemetery. A city without grief or graves, without sins or sorrows, without marriages or mourning, without births or burial, a city which glories in having Jesus for its king, angels for its guard, and guards, and whose citizens are saints. What a day that will be. Let's have prayer. Lord, we pray you.